Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Go ahead, Renee. Hallelujah. Worship you. Praise you and thank you for all that you are, Jesus. We give you all the praise. Father, I mean, we give you all the praise. We give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. You alone, Lord. You alone are our salvation. You are that strong rock. You are that place of refuge. We are not greatly moved, Lord. We are not greatly moved, Father. You only, Lord, are our salvation. You only. You only are our everlasting rock. You are a shield, our defense. You are our wisdom. You are our soft answer. You are the healer. You are the lover of our soul. You are the saturator, the baptizer. You are our best friend. You are a lion. At the same time, you are a lamb. You are more than enough. Presently, today, right here, right now. Because of what you did 2,000 years ago, Lord, right here, right now, at this very moment, at this very second, we have found completion in you. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of our salvation, let him be exalted. The Lord liveth. Listen to that now. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of our salvation, let him be exalted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Let me for about 5 minutes just exhort you on something real simple. Just for 5 minutes. Hallelujah. You got to catch that verse, man. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Every time that I get a chance to minister, I say this and I will die saying this. It's so, so vital and important to know where to abide in the Scriptures. To know where you are supposed to be. And how will you know? By asking a simple little question. And he'll answer either by the unction, or he'll whisper to you. I just recently, the last 4 weeks of my life, I've never experienced something like I've experienced in my life. Never. Never, ever, never. Now, I've experienced pressure by being complacent before. I think we've all gone through that, where you feel like quitting and stopping because we stopped fellowshipping. I think we've all experienced that. You know, we don't know where the pressure's coming from, but hey, it came because we allowed it, because we stopped praying. We just stopped fellowshipping. This book gathered dust, and the tongue stopped, and the worship stopped, and the fasting stopped. We separated ourselves from God for a season through fellowship. We just stopped. So we know what's coming after that. We know. It's a no-brainer to know what's coming when we stop fellowshipping with God. Everybody in here, Pastor Bronk included, he knows what comes if that stops. But I've never in my life experienced pressure like I have the last 4 weeks of my life through praying. Everything that I did, every Bible verse that I read was hitting the wall. And for 4 solid weeks, and even the kids in the church on Sunday night began to tell me, man, what's wrong, Pastor? We don't feel the... And I said, I know. And I could not put my finger on it. I would get up in the morning and just crawl barely to my closet, just crawl and mad and disgusted. I couldn't understand melody, but I wouldn't stop. God, I wouldn't stop. I was so aggravated. Everything that I felt delivered from, I felt rise up against me, but I didn't stop. For a month this went on. Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night. I went to pastor for counsel a little bit, and he told me to rejoice. I said, okay, And then last Sunday, I was in a big time rage. Just, I won't even get into that. But, and I had been in Isaiah for a long time receiving the power of being born again. And then last Sunday, just, I felt so much pressure like I never had in my life. And again, please understand, this lasted for 30 straight days, man. I mean, a badgering. But as God is my witness, I did not stop, Ralph. I did not stop. I got up. I lifted up my hands. I opened my Bible. I prayed in the Spirit. And not till last Monday, we had a great service last Sunday. I felt His pressure on me so much. But I said, it's okay. So I came back and just laid hands on every single kid in here. And it was so glorious. Kids were out in the Spirit crying, weeping, repenting. It was just incredible. But then Monday come along and I felt it a little bit again. I was in worship Sunday morning and the Lord said, go have this person pray for your situation. So I went to that person. I didn't know why. I didn't know where. I said, I just feel God just asked me to ask you to remember me when your prayer time. And then Monday, I just assumed that He was to have me in Isaiah. But I said, Lord, this has to stop right here, right now. Where would you have me dwell, Lord? And in the midst of all this torment, He did mention about 3 weeks into this, I did, without even asking, I just heard the word Gadite go off in my spirit. I did, out of the blues, I hadn't meditated much on that in years. And I heard the word Gadite and I looked it up. I knew what it meant and I read it and I meditated a few times and it began to do something in me. And then Monday, I said, something's got to change, oh Lord. I don't understand this pressure. I don't understand. I know where it's coming from, but I've never felt this kind of pressure. Not letting go of you. I felt it before letting go of you. But I've never felt it inside of you where I'm there every morning with you, Jesus. I'm real perplexed. And I said, Lord, where would you have me dwell? And He just completely took me back into the Psalm 62, Psalm 63, Psalm 27, Psalm 18 about battle. My friends, make no mistake. This is a battle. Make no mistake. This is a real, live, spiritual battle. You have to know that. And I began to read the Psalms and I began to weep and to cry because of the victory that God would bring upon His people that trusted in Him. It's a battle, my friends. He never stops. He is Mr. Consistency. But we have to be just as consistent as Him to come out on top. We cannot whatsoever, ever quit for a season. We can't afford to quit. And as I would read the scripture about He is my rock and my shield, I began to feel a release from inside of me as I saturated my soul and my senses with who He was. I could have stayed in Isaiah, I believe, and still been miserable today had I not shut my mouth, shut my spirit up and said, God, where would you have me dwell? Jesus, I need your thought. I need your mind. I need your baptism. Where? Send me to that pasture, oh Lord. I will come out of this junk that I'm in. So I began to open up the Psalms and almost immediately, Melody, immediately when I saturated my thought with His word, that oppression was lifted. It would lift. When He wrote, God only is my salvation, I would stop at those three words and I lift up my hands and say, my God, Lord, thank you. He only is my refuge. I will not be greatly moved. Listen to this real quick. Got a new Bible. So pretty. Listen to this real quick. Psalm 62, truly, listen to what David, this is something that helped me carry myself over the edge through His word. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. This is David speaking. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him is my salvation. Listen to me. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock. You don't think I needed to hear this in that month of hell that I went through? He only is my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. This is the part that caught me here. He said, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall and a tottering fence. He said in two verses what God was to him. So basically he said, if you're conspiring against me, stop. Because verse 1 and 2 says that I win. You're conspiring against me, Satan, it's a lost cause. You'll be slain like a tottering wall. You're flimsy compared to my God. Because my God is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So Satan, how long will you conspire against the body of Christ? You're flimsy like a tottering wall. You'll be slain. Why? Because my soul, it waits upon God. And if He truly is your defense, if He truly is your comfort, if He truly is your salvation, we can lift up our hands and know that any weapon that's ever formed against us, it will not prosper. Do you know why He said no weapon formed against you would prosper? Because He said, prophecy through Isaiah, He said, I have created the blacksmith. This is God speaking through Isaiah. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But He said before that, I have created the blacksmith who blows, who puts the coals in the fire to bring forth a weapon. And that weapon is brought forth and given to me and you. Before He said that, He said, the strong arm of the Lord, the power of the Lord has been revealed. If no weapon formed against me will ever prosper, why? It's because the weapon inside of me is a heck of a lot stronger than the weapon that's out in society. That's why nothing. I wanted to quit everything. And I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say nothing. I kept it shut. I wanted to cuss everybody. Can I be honest with you? I wanted to cuss everybody. I got to church Sunday night. Nobody, my wife wasn't here. Nobody was here on time. Everything. I wanted to cuss it. I wanted to cuss Pastor Bronk. He had nothing to do with it. Can I just be honest with you? That's how I felt. My wife was late. My daughter was late. Everybody and their mama was late. But that was nothing, though. I mean, that's nothing compared. That was nothing. It had nothing to do with what was going on inside of me. Nothing at all. It was all spiritual. But He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? Because there's something inside of you that's a lot more powerful than any conspiracy in the face of this earth. Nothing, no matter what it is, can overwhelm me and you. We have a heritage of sons and daughters. We always win. We're never greatly moved. Why? Because that's what His Word says pertaining to me and you. It's settled. It's not a democracy. We can't. It's settled. We always win when we saturate ourselves with His Word. We are not greatly moved. Why? Because it says so right there. It's settled. This Word is settled in heaven. And if it's settled there, it's settled here. All we got to do is believe it. That's all we got to do. Every conspiracy, it's in vain. Why? Because God is our refuge. He is our rock and our defense. If indeed we know that no conspiracy against us will ever prevail, no weapon formed against us. Why? Because the strong arm of the Lord has been revealed in our hearts. He said, I created the blacksmith to put the coals in the fire to bring forth a weapon given to me and you. So what we have inside of us, there ain't no devil in hell, conspiracy in hell, that can stand up against what's inside of me and you. We've been adorned with perfection. sapphires, with rubies, or pinnacles, or of crystal. We have been born again, my friend. We never, ever, never, ever, never lose. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing, wandering, tottering thing. Listen to this. They only consult to cast down from His excellency. If God is who He says He is in my life, think about it. If He is who He says He is in my life, and they're conspiring against me, in all essence, who are they conspiring against? They only consult to cast down from His excellency. If He is who He says He is inside of me, and I know that He is what He says He is inside of me, the conspiracy is not against me. It's against Him. And it's against Him, guess what? He loses. Think about that now. If He is who He says He is, and He is inside of me who He says He is, and I believe He is who He says He is inside of me, the conspiracy is not against me. It's against Him. And if it's against Him, the war is over. We win. No weapon shall ever, ever, that's formed against you, shall ever prosper, because the strong arm of the Lord has been revealed in me and you. He said, I have brought forth the blacksmith that puts the coals in the fire for what purpose? To take out a weapon out of the fire. And that weapon is given to me and you. And if it's given to me and you from the Almighty God, whoo, there ain't no devil on this side of hell or that side or anywhere in hell that can overcome me and you. The conspiracy is not against us. It's against Him. And if we believe that He is that rock, if we believe that He is that refuge, He loses. One important thing, though, you got to know it in your heart. Remember, the scripture is a dime a dozen. You got to know it. Some of you might say, I can't believe you said you wanted to cuss everybody. I'm sorry for being real with you. I'm sorry for being upfront with you. I'm sorry. That's just the honest to God truth. I'm sure nobody here has ever felt like that before. Never. Never. This word is powerful. Ask Him where He would have you to abide. I went back to that scripture almost the first time through it. Almost the first time through it, Rex, I felt a release in my spirit. I felt a conspiracy, but then I remembered through His word that He wasn't actually conspiring against me. He was conspiring against a risen Savior. That, my friends, is a lost cause. Amen. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lord. I got something for you today in Philippians that's going to blow your mind. Oh, it's going to go against the grain a little bit in it, Ralph. Something so powerful. I don't know how long it's been hidden, but it's been found now. With the help of Mr. Ralph a little bit. Me and Pastor talked about it, but it's there, and I saw it the other night, and it'll help you a lot in your walk with Christ. Amen. But we win, my friends. We win. We win. We win. And I'm not going to tell you that attack won't ever come at me again. It will come at me again. But and when I come out of it, there was a different perspective on life and on people. Because I felt such a strong oppression. It was so strong. Oh, my God. But it wasn't strong enough to keep me from my little desk in the morning. It wasn't strong enough. Did you feel the Holy Ghost in that month? Nope. Did you feel the presence of God? No. Did you feel edified? Nope. Did you feel angry? Yep. Did you feel anxiety? Yep. Did you stop? No. With cat blocks? No. I did not stop. I had no energy at all. Drained. As a Monday morning, by 7 o'clock, when I was done, all my energy come back to me. Because I figured out what was going on and I figured out what the answer was. Don't stop, my friends. Don't let nothing keep you from that quiet place of transformation in the midst of a king. Don't let nothing keep you from that place. Nothing. Don't let nothing keep you from that place. You know where it says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. The church has quoted that for years. Guess what? He's talking to sinners, man. He's not talking to believers. How can he tell a believer that my thoughts are not your thoughts? How could he tell a believer that my ways are not your ways? We've heard the church quote it, my thoughts are not your thoughts. No, no, no. He's talking to a sinner. When he said, my word will not return to me null and void, that's been taught a lot in the Christian circle. Well, he's talking about the word of reconciliation. He said, this word of reconciliation will not return to me null and void. You know why? It hovers here till somebody receives it. It hovers in the earth till somebody receives that word of reconciliation. And then our soul, to receiving that word, he said, my word will not return to me null and void. It's being used broadly. It means one thing. It's the word of reconciliation. It started in Isaiah 52. It does not return to him null and void. Why? Because it's here till somebody receives it. So our thoughts, guess what? So his thoughts, guess what? Are my thoughts. And his ways are our ways. We've been born again, my friends. We've been pardoned. We've been forgiven. We bear fruit. Because we have been born again. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's, as Matt gives us a little something, let's go around and greet each other and say hello for a few moments before we get started. Amen. Hallelujah. Mr. Matt. Hallelujah. Shake somebody's hand now. Prayer. Father, we bless you. Thank you for all that you are. Father, I thank you for the five limbs, Lord. Each one serves a purpose, Father. For all that you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Philippians with me, chapter 4, please. Hallelujah. Philippians, one of the books that I first started meditating when I first got saved. Started meditating again about 6 months ago. And Ralph said something that started, and every time I came to this portion of chapter 4, I knew it really didn't mean what it said it meant. It just, how did you know what I didn't know? I just, it knew something didn't sit well inside of me. Because I've heard it mentioned and preached so many times. And it just didn't sit well with me. And Ralph brought it up. He asked me what I thought about this. And I said, you know what, Ralph? I've just been meditating this and I was thinking the same exact thing. It just doesn't line up. And after going through it time and time again, and I had to break out the Greek, the interlinear, blah, blah, this and that. And I finally shared it with the pastor. He said, my God. And that's all he ever says, my God. But you're going to enjoy this. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, now I asked God to give me his eyes so I could see, and he gave me some 1.25. So let's proceed, please. I'm going to blame the light bulbs. They're just a little too strong for me. Now listen to this carefully. Now this is going to be a little bit against the grain of what we've handled this verse. I've handled this verse like this to an extent. And you want to say that it's wrong, but I guess in context, it doesn't mean how it's been used at all. But, I mean, you can apply it, I guess, to an extent, too. I'm not going to say because you know what I'm talking about. But listen carefully. I promise it's going to help you with your walk. I promise you. It's Paul in Philippians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, or the want in the New King James is need. He said, not that I speak. No, we'll go back to 10. I'm sorry. We'll go back to 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He said, not that I speak. Listen to this now. You got to remember this. Oops. Not that I speak in respect of need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. He says, I know how to live abased. I know how to live with plenty. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. That's a powerful verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with me with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we all know Paul was in prison in the Tullian keep. We know he was in human dung up to his waist. We know he was suffering because Paul had one agenda. He wanted to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. You know, there's one thing when you read Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. There was one thing that he always asked at the end of one of his epistles. He said, pray. Listen to this. This is like a common day believer. He said, I have one prayer request. Pray that a door would be open for me to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. He never prayed to get out of the Tullian keep. He never prayed for God to remove him out of that dung. He said, there's an opportunity here to present the gospel of peace. That was his only request throughout his epistles for himself. He said, don't pray that these sufferings would that they would cease and desist. Pray that there would be an open door for me somewhere to present this gospel of peace. When I got a hold, I said, my God. He had one request, one mindset. I want to present to you Jesus Christ. Regardless of what situation I'm in, I want to present to you the gospel of the Almighty God. Now, Paul he's writing to the church at Philippi, which was a very wealthy church. He was in human dung, the Tullian keep, we know that. And he had a necessity that he did not make known to the body of Christ. He did not tell anybody of his need. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. That word want is a word need. It means poverty. It means want. It means personal needs. I'm not speaking to you concerning poverty, lack of, or personal need. He said, I'm in prison. He said, the God of peace, he's with me. It was evident that God was with him because he wrote in chapter 4 or in chapter 3, rejoice in the Lord. Now in human dung, this man knew of the operation that dwelt inside of him. He knew of the power of the Almighty God that dwelt inside of him. And he knew what walking in peace was. How do you know? Because he wrote in prison, in human dung, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. He said, again, I say rejoice. He said, let your moderation, let your kindness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He said, listen to this now, in human dung, be anxious for nothing. That would have been me in human dung. I would have been anxious for something. Get me out of here. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. He said, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard. That word guard And the Greek means for soldiers to be up on a refuge in a wall and to be shooting down with arrows at the enemy. He said, this peace will guard everything inside of you if you learn how to walk in it. It will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So he's in prison. He received a gift. He didn't ask for a gift. He didn't make his personal need known at all. In fact, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Who do you think he learned that from? We're in a classroom. Now, who do you think Paul learned that from? How to be content in a place of human dung. Jesus Christ. No brainer. He said, I'm not speaking to you regarding need or poverty. You did well that you sold into me. You did well that you sold. That you gave me the gift. The church at Philippi gave three times. They gave him once when he was in. They gave him two gifts earlier in his life. And again, they gave him another gift. And he said it was a pleasant gift, an aroma well-pleasing to God. It was plentiful. It was a very wealthy church. He received this gift in prison. He thanked them for this gift in prison. But then he made a statement. He made a statement that never sat well with me. First he said, again, I'm going to retract it. I'm going to get to what I want to teach you. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. Verse 4:11. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. Listen to me carefully now. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. Listen to this now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Listen. Close your eyes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He said, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. In human dung, he wrote, rejoice in the Lord. 8 times in Philippians, he used the word rejoice. In 1 Timothy, he said, I'm in chains, but I'm not in chains. I'm in chains physically, but the operation that lives inside of me is not in chains. I'm free. I have been born again. You can't stop my operation. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So you've done well that you gave me an offering. You've done well. I didn't ask you for it. I didn't beg you for it. But I thank you for it. You've done well. You gave me an offering. You gave me supply for my needs now. And you did twice before. No church has shared with me concerning giving and receiving. But you only. He said, I rejoice in this. There's going to be fruit laid to your account for your heart. But don't forget that the same church that gave him an offering is the same church that he's addressing in the book of Philippians. Remember that. That's so vital to remember. He's addressing them, teaching them, and exhorting him through the book of Philippians. Now, they were a wealthy church. But just because you're wealthy doesn't mean you prosper in the spirit all the time. That means you can give out of your abundance, which is good. It's commendable. But they had a need. Listen to this now. After 13, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He received a gift from the church at Philippi, a wealthy church that had given him gifts 3 times. said, notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Only one church was his financial support. The church at Philippi gave him three offerings, or whatever. I don't know what was in the offering. Money, victuals, ink, quail, I don't know. But they gave something pleasant that was honorable before God. I'm almost there. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, not because I desire the offering from you. It's not what I desire. He just said before that, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That offering didn't make him any closer to Jesus Christ. That offering did not complete him. Because the operation that's inside of us is mighty. We carry a powerful operation inside of us. That offering didn't bring him any closer to the bosom of Jesus Christ. He said, I thank you that you gave it to me. You'll be commended before that, before the Almighty God. He said, but I know how to rejoice in God already. Thank you for it. I commend you for it. But he just wrote, I rejoice in the Lord again. I say, he knew how to be complete in God. He knew it. Listen carefully now. Almost there. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to what? To your account. Okay. He said, but I have all. I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now here's where it gets interesting. He was in prison, in human dung. He didn't have much in the natural. He wrote, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice, and so on. Three or four or five verses down. Church was behind him with material things. Twice before they gave him an offering, again they gave him another offering. He said, you've done well. You've done well that you shared with me in your abundance. They were very, very the wealthiest church. They were wealthy. But the verse I'm going to share with you has been handled the wrong way. Now, if a church is wealthy, if they have an abundance of money, and if we use the verse the way that we've been using it, no, I have to explain that wrong. The church, they were loaded. They gave him money. They supplied stuff to him in the natural. But the church, he said prior, he said, I'm not speaking to you in regard to need. Listen to this now. Try to put it as plain as I can so you can get it. He said, I'm not speaking to you regarding natural need. I'm not speaking to you regarding poverty. You gave me a gift. He said, you did well. An offering. A sweet sacrifice, commendable before God. He just added fruit to your account, because you gave me to support my ministry. And I commend you for that, he said. Thank you. You shared in my affliction. He didn't tell him there was a need till after the need was met. But then he said something so remarkable. He said, but I have all. He's talking to the church at Philippi. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Here we go. Here's a catch of verse 19. He said, but my God, we all know it. We've all quoted it. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. By who? We all know that one. But my God, he said, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ. He said, now we've used that verse regarding what? Finances. Wrong. He said, but my God shall supply all your need. What need in the natural did they have? The church at Philippi. They said, in reference, it's always been used, my God shall supply all your need. Hallelujah, the money's coming. No, that's not right. They had an abundance of money. When he said, I'm not speaking to you in regards to poverty, to need, that's one Greek word. Listen to me carefully. That first Greek word meant not that I speak to you in regard to need. That word need means poverty. That word need means lack of. I'm not speaking to you regarding this. And he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now the church in Philippi was loaded with money. What natural need did they have? They didn't have a natural need. They had a ton of money. But what that word need means in the Greek, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what that word need means in the Greek in verse 19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know what that word need means? He said, my God, church at Philippi, thank you for your gift. Thank you for sowing into my ministry. You did well communicating with me, considering giving and receiving. But before that offering got here, there was peace in my life. But I thank you for it. Before that offering got here, when I was in human dung, I led somebody to the Lord. Before that offering got to me, I told somebody about the goodness of Jesus Christ. That offering was so good. It was pleasant. But it did not bring me any closer to the Lamb of God. In prison, in human dung, I walk in peace. 5 times of the Jews I received the 40 lashes minus one. In those lashes, I knew how to walk in peace. Once I was stoned. During every stone that hit my brow and my head, I knew how to walk in peace. When I was shipwrecked in the midst of the sea for 2 days, before that offering, I knew how to walk in peace. When my ankles and my feet were in shackles and every bone in my foot was broken before that offering, the God of peace was with me. Thank you so much for that offering. It's commendable. You're a wealthy church. You did well that you sold into this ministry. So first and foremost, be taught that there was no natural need in the church at Philippi at all. But for him to address them through an epistle, let me know that there was a spiritual need. He said, and my God, but he said, but my God shall supply all your, why didn't he say our need? Because he knew how to tap into peace. He knew about spending time with Jesus Christ. He said, but my God shall supply all your need. That word need in the Greek, you can read it like this. But my God shall supply all your needful edification. My God shall supply all your needful edification according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We've used that verse and we've slaughtered it, claiming it over our finances. I have too. It has nothing to do with finances. That verse, according to the riches and glory that are found in Christ Jesus, is used for me and you to maintain ourselves in who Jesus Christ is. He said, my God shall supply all you need according to his needful edification. And see, what we need, it's not in the natural. All our adjustments, our victories, our power is all in, our kingdom is internal. We carry a powerful inward operation. All that we need is internal. We need nothing. If you need something in the natural to make you complete in God, then you're lacking so much internally. He said, my God shall supply all. Why didn't you say your need, Paul? Are you boasting? No. He knew what it was to walk with the God of peace. How else can you write rejoice in the Lord? Again, I say rejoice, lest you know peace. Lest you know shalom, shalom, lest you know peace. How can you dare write such an epistle? How can you write it? Lest you walk in it. In dung, my friends, in doo-doo, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. But my God shall supply all your need. Church of Philippi, you did well in giving me money. But you lack spiritually. You need his edification in your life. They didn't lack money, my friends. They lacked spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. My friends, he is all that we could ever need in life. When we learn to tap into the Almighty God, the God of peace follows us wherever we go. So he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In prison, laying hands on a little girl, seeing her rise from the dead, was power to Paul. Winning over districts and regions was what he lived for. He walked in peace. He was happy when he worked miracles. But the same peace, the same mindset that he had when he worked miracles, is the same mindset that he had in human dung up to his waist. Famine or feast, his mindset, it never changed. Why? Because he knew how to tap in to the goodness of the Almighty God. He said, my God shall supply all your need. He supplied my need already. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I can't be moved. I'm immovable. He knew how to baptize his emotions in the presence of the Almighty God. He knew how to walk stable every single day of his life in Christ Jesus. There were no moody days in his life. He was consistent in Christ Jesus. All that God was, Paul knew how to tap into that. He was never moved. The economy did not move him. Chains did not move him. Famine did not move him. Feast did not move him. Offerings did not move him. Nothing moved our forefather. Why? Because Christ was his absolute life. He wrote in Philippians, I press on violently. Nothing hinders me from attaining that robe of righteousness. I've cut myself off from the world to receive all that God is. I'm going to tell you something. The closer I get to God, I, for the first time last Friday in about 4 years, I hung out with the boys. Some of my old friends for the first time. I just did it. They were going to have some barbecue chicken there. That's where I went, really. And I have, how can I say this? I don't want nobody to get mad. But you have to get over it. When you encounter Christ, when, as most of us do in here, when you spend time with him, hanging around with your boys is really nothing. I mean, they're just, that desire just seems to fall away from you. As you know, I went, I had a good time, I laughed with them, I had a good time, I did. But the whole time, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking about my wife. About that nice perfume she buys at the yard sales. You know. I was there watching a game with my friends, eating and stuff. But I was thinking about my wife. I was thinking about a Bible verse. You know, the closer you get to him, the cars just get a little smaller. You don't desire the... You don't desire you don't desire worldly things, man. They just don't move you. You don't desire a bigger house. It just doesn't go with finding him, man. You don't desire hanging out with your homeboys. It just doesn't line up with his word. You know what? And I don't care if you don't believe me. The love for sports goes away. I looked at the Miami, Florida State game. Carter was with me. And I saw a lady in torment from the Florida. She looked like she was dying, crying and weeping. The deep groanings of intercession, crying. Why? Because Florida State was losing. I said, I was that dummy that took such an offense to a loss. That was me. Let me tell you something. I am a Miami Hurricane fan and I like my team, but life goes on, man. It goes on. These kind of things should fall off from our life as we get closer and closer to the King. Nothing should set us back. We should always walk in shalom, shalom, in the peace of God. No matter what faces us down, we are super victorious in the Almighty God. All we should desire is to be with Him, to be with our families, to raise up our children in the ways of God, to honor Him with our lips and with our heart. Things fall off of your life, man. They fall off. They just fall off. They just fall off. I used to break TVs when the Miami Hurricanes used to lose. I used to make you walk home if you walk. You better get a ride to my house because they lose, you'll walk. Amen, Cot? You better, because you're going to walk home. And if you came to barbecue, I'd give you the burnt piece of chicken. I went through TVs after TVs, Dan. Get out of my house, man. I told one kid that was there, a good friend of mine, I said, what you need to do is get a job. That was after Miami Hurricane lost. And what did a job have to do with a hurricane loss? But you know what? You need to get a job in a life instead of living at home with your mama, is what I told him. That's about 8-9 years ago, a long time ago. But things fall off, man. Appetites change. You know what I'm talking about? That's why you're laughing. Desires change. Wants changed. Your friends change. Now, I love the friends I spend time with Friday. One of the guys there is my best friend. I love him. But I was thinking about Jesus watching a football game, man. I was thinking about, oh, my God. Honestly, whether you believe me or not, I couldn't wait till the morning so I could get up again and open up my Bible and fellowship with the King. That's our heritage. That's our lifestyle, my friends. That's what we live for. Paul has taught me so much in Philippians, never to complain. Our forefathers, through their martyred life, have taught me so much, never to complain. And we don't know what the true sufferings of Christ are in this church. We don't know what they are. We're spoiled. We're a spoiled church. In general, is what I'm talking about. In general. We don't know what the true sufferings of Christ are. We've never, nobody's ever come to us and say, Gay, do you believe in Christ? If not, I'm going to kill your children. We've never faced that kind of opposition. What we call sufferings when you're a little late on the light bill. It takes our peace. Paul said, in human dung, I walk in peace. He told the church at Philippi, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Church at Philippi, you need his needful edification. You lack something in his life, and that is only found through this one man named Jesus Christ. All that we're looking for, my friends, is found in Jesus Christ. Your appetites, your desires, your wants should be changing if you've been part of this church for a while. Things should be changing in your life. Your wife should be your queen. She should be your queen. Your best friends should be your sons. Your desire should be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. the want to of your life should be waking up in the morning, encountering your daddy. Your eyes should be fixed upon your queen, telling her how beautiful she is. Your eyes should be fixed upon the Word of God. Your life should be of, I want my boys to do good in sports, but man, I can't wait to see my boys read their Bible. I can't wait to see my daughter walk in purity. These are the things that change in Christ Jesus. These are the important things in life. Our appetites, our desires, our wants should be changing in Christ Jesus. We should press on a violent manner where nothing on the face of this earth can stop me and you from fellowshipping with this man named Jesus Christ. Paul said, I press on in a violent manner. I do not stop. I was created for one reason and one purpose. That was to draw closer to the Lamb of God. And my God shall supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ. He's all we need. He wasn't talking about a material thing there. He said, your needful edification, what you lack in the Spirit, comes to you by one man and one man alone. And that is Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's when I see this one lady here on the first row, when I see what she's been through and I see her rejoicing in God, that, my friends, brings me edification. Knowing that you can be an immovable object in Christ if you fellowship with Him on a consistent basis. Paul, what he went through and wrote in the Tullian Keep, to rejoice in the Lord. In human, you got to let that sit in, man. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. In human dung, the lady on TV was in turmoil, crying because a football team lost. My God, we have lost perspective in the body of Christ. We have lost complete, total perspective. We ought to mourn is when we lose the loved one to the world. That's when we ought to mourn and cry and take offense. When we lost one to the world. When one dies premature. That's when it should bother us. Not when there's a football game on TV where your team just lost. That, my brothers and sisters, is foolishness. It's foolishness. Did you watch the hurricane game last night, Pastor Homer? Yep. I started watching it late. The closer you get to Him, the more and more you get this inside of you. Life doesn't matter anymore. We were created to behold His glory and His beauty every single day of our life. Our appetites and desires, our mindsets, they should be changing. I had a blast with my friends. I laughed and laughed. I had a good time. But that is not what I was created for. I was created to fall in love with Him first, to tell everybody about this man named Jesus Christ. That's why we were created, to honor the risen Savior. We carry a powerful operation inside, an internal powerful operation, that if we feed it, my friends, the things of this world will mean nothing to you. It will mean nothing to you. Are you sure, Pastor Omar? Try to understand this statement here before I close. Try to understand this. You got to look. You got to discern. After hearing what I'm going to tell you, don't look at it as a one-dimensional statement. Listen to it now. When you behold the King, when He is your life, and I'm going to say this, and I hope you understand it with all, I just pray to God that you do. I pray that you do, because my heart's pure on this. When Pastor Christie came, I had a great time in Him. I had a great time. Learned a lot from Him. But what amazed me was that he preached the same stuff that Pastor had been preaching for 8 years. And the excitement was good. It was good. And I was blessed. I was blessed by what he said. I was really blessed. But I'm going to say something to you, and don't take this the wrong way. He came in power and might, and I can't hold his shoestring. I'm not dumb. He's an anointed man. Not yet. But I'm not up against him. I had a great time. He's a personal friend of mine. But when you have a consistent life in him, let me just say it like this. People were excited, and that's good. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say reference to myself, but in a bold sense. When you get up in the morning, in there lies your sufficiency. Do you get that statement? I like what he heard, but I'm talking about myself, but I'm talking about to the body of Christ. When I heard him, it was good, but I get up in the morning. Are you with me on that statement? It was good and I was edified, but I was not shocked because I get up in the morning. What I heard was powerful and it was truth and I was edified, but I was not overwhelmed because we get up in the morning. I love what he said. I was edified, but no one should ever come in here and overwhelm us with what they said if you encounter the risen Savior on a consistent basis. No guest speaker should ever, ever completely overwhelm you if you get up in the morning. If you get up, nothing will overwhelm you in this walk because you're used to it. You're used to His glory. You're used to His beauty. I loved it and I enjoyed it and I'll visit it and I'll come every night again when He comes back. But we get up in the morning and there lies our peace. And there lies shalom, shalom, the peace of God. Now, thank God that He came. If He kick-started you into a place of fellowship, amen. That's good. But Pastor has been preaching the same thing for 8, 9 to 10 years, man. We shouldn't be in this church overwhelmed. Why? Because we get up in the morning. He is our sufficiency. He is why we live. Paul said, and my God shall supply all your need for edification. My God, listen to him. My God, my God, my God, my God shall supply all that you need. All that you need is in Paul's God, which happens to be our God. All your need for edification is found in one person, in the Almighty God, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 62. Truly, you alone are my salvation. You are my defense. You are my rock. I am not greatly moved. You and you alone, Jesus, are my sufficiency. This word, these hands, these lips, this heart, these eyes, carry me into His presence. He is our sufficiency. My friends, we get up in the morning. We should never be completely overwhelmed by a message when we encounter the message every single day of our life. Nothing at all in my heart against Him. Yeah, I had a great time. But my thing is this, my God, pastors taught the same thing for 10 years. But we get up in the morning. I can't be without getting up in the morning. There's too much of me in me. I need Him in me to get rid of me in me. Are you with me? We need His edification. We need that mindset, Kato, where we're never, ever moved. Whether death awaits us, whether martyrdom awaits us, whether persecutions or trials or tribulations await us, there's a peace that can be found in the Almighty God if we just lay our lives down and separate ourselves from this world. He said, do these things, Paul said, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, do these things, and the God of peace, Amber, shall be with you. Is the God of peace with you, Amber? Shalom, shalom. How else can you write in dung, in human dung, rejoice in the Lord? How else can you rejoice in that lest the peace of God abide in you? Things change in Christ. Things change in Christ. And my God shall supply all your needful edification according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A 5-digit bonus doesn't complete you. A 6-digit bonus won't complete you. A 40% raise doesn't complete you. He completes you. Christ completes me and you. Listen to me, there's endless provision. I've never read where Christ Jesus laid hand on a dead person and said, man, she looks real dead. I don't know if I can do this. No, He just did it. She rose up. Never nothing negative coming out of His well or His mouth. She's got the fever. I don't know about that one, man. I don't know. I'll do it anyway. No. He jumped on it, baby. He jumped on it. Well, that young man's blind. Well, God, he's real blind. Hey, you. No, just jumped right on it. Because he knew of his Father's endless provision and his Father's endless anointing. His Father's endless peace. Paul said, I can do all things. All things. Through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Paul said, I have a dilemma. To depart to be with Christ is far better. This is the kind of mind in closing that we're looking for. He said, he had a choice, man. He said, I can depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But for me to remain in the flesh is more better for you. Think about it. If you were given a choice in the next 5 minutes to be with Jesus, or to be here on earth, to counsel people that you preach to a million times and still don't pray. Bye. But he walked in the mind of Christ. He walked in the mind of Christ. To be with you, Lord, to behold your glory, to finally see your face, it's a great thing, my Lord. I just can't come right now because your sheep, they need me for growth, Lord. Therefore, I'll walk in your mind and I'll be a servant, a bondslave, and I'll stay here, Lord, and take care of your sheep. Thank you, Paul, for staying because your writings have helped me. Thank you for staying, Paul. Because you taught me how to love my wife like a queen. Thank you for staying, Paul, because I can see my children as precious in your sight. Thank you for staying, Paul. There's a lot more things in life more important than a football game, Paul. The people of Immokalee, Paul, they need Jesus. There's countless of kids after kids that have no father and mother at home, Paul. They need the embrace of a risen Savior. Thank you for staying, Paul, and helping me fall in love with Jesus Christ. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul, for falling in love with the only true risen Savior. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for teaching me how to rejoice. The things that we call the sufferings of Christ that aren't actually the sufferings of Christ, Paul. Thank you that you pressed on violently and you told me to press on violently. Thank you, Paul, that I'm able to find the risen Savior through your writings. Thanks, Paul. And guess what? Don't let me mislead you. This Saturday, I'm going to watch the Miami Hurricanes again. That's not the point that I'm making at all. I like college football. I like it. I could sit and watch it all day Saturday. But if I don't watch it, it doesn't matter anymore, man. It doesn't matter anymore. And they're as good as they've been in the last 3 or 4 years, but it doesn't matter. There's kids on Saturday that don't know Jesus Christ. There's kids, there's people that don't know the risen Savior. If I let a loss or a defeat of my team or another team or the things of this world consume me, I'll never walk in enough anointing to do anything for Jesus, man. I say that because that's what used to hold me bondage. I see the kids of this town. So the game last night having kids cuss me, 14 and 15 years old, with no hope. The people of this world need a risen Savior, my friends. And we are Christ's ambassadors. to present to them a holy gospel, not by what we say. Anybody can say Jesus, but by how we live. Anybody can tell somebody about Jesus. That's easy. But they're looking at us to see how we conduct ourselves, more than by how we rip each other up, how we walk in offense or give an offense. They're looking for that. But we get up in the morning. We behold the face of a risen Savior every single day of our life. We know how to walk in peace. We know how to have the God of peace walk side by side with me and you. We know how to separate ourselves from the things of this world. We know how to hang on to the righteousness of God. We know how to tap in to His endless supply. He is our sufficiency. He said, "My God shall supply all your needful edification according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The church of Philippi had money. If you think money's power, then why did He tell them they needed something in the Spirit when they were filled with money? I know a lot of people with money that are very unhappy. Can't even tell they got money by looking at them because they're so miserable. My God shall supply all your endless edification, Ralph. All that you need in life is found in one man, and His name is Jesus Christ. We've determined here as a body of Christ that He is why we live. And we're not overwhelmed in life. We're set back at times, but we're never overwhelmed, because we encounter the face of a risen Savior every single day of our life. We're revivalists, my friends. We're different. We're set apart. Peculiar people. A holy nation. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. You, my friend, are royalty. You are royalty. Today, you have access to the very best that God has because of what one man did 2,000 years ago. And His name is Jesus Christ. Your healer today. Your wisdom today. The physician today. Your soft answer today. Your sufficiency. Got my left eye closed and I can see every single one of you now with the right eye that I had 5% vision in. I can see all of you right now. Hey, guys. I predetermined through His word and by His stripes, not by the doctor, and by His stripes, I was healed. I saved $400 a doctor visit. I saved about 4 or 5 days of when I got the laser in my eye, what it would do to me. But I didn't do it out of ignorance. I hid the scriptures in my heart. Another 10%, I'll be back to 20/20. Medicine free, laser surgery free, because the free blood of one man set me free. One man, the blood of one man. Blood of one man. One man. See, there are no blind eyes in heaven, my friend. His word is settled in heaven. My God shall supply all your needful edification according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All that you need is in the risen Savior. You feel your wife don't love you enough? All that you need is the risen Savior. You feel your husband don't love you enough? All that you need is the risen Savior. You feel you're broke? All that you need is the risen Savior. To be baptized by His edification. He, my friend, is our sufficiency. Christ proved it, so did a man named Paul. And he wrote in these last words, in human dung, "Rejoice in the Lord always, again, I say, rejoice. Close your eyes with me. Just close your eyes. Picture him in prison. Picture yourself in prison saying this. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness in prison now. Let your gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Listen, in prison, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, the shalom, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Do you think he was qualified to minister peace in human dung? Rejoice in the Lord. Just out of curiosity, has anybody in here ever been in prison in human dung? Just maybe. I mean, any of you? Me either. He could rejoice in that stench. Me and you can rejoice in our current circumstance. Because the God of shalom, the God of peace, abides in me and you. Amen. His ways are your ways, and his thoughts are your thoughts. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. Why? Because the strong arm of God has been revealed in your heart. You, my friend, are an overcomer. Regardless of what you think of yourself. One thing that Pastor Christie said that really stuck to me a lot now. What does God say pertaining to me and you? Let's take it. Let's run with it. This is his promise for you, my friend, and for me. We win. Amen. May the God of peace rest upon you. Why? Because you, my friend, get up when? In the morning. Or you stay up late at night. We're not overwhelmed by anybody. Pastor Dave's the man. He's the man that answers to the man. No one should overwhelm you. Not when you have access to a king. No one should overwhelm you. Amen. Hallelujah.